Tonight at 9:30, a radio drama from San Francisco, the city theater folk call the best theater town in the country. Our play tonight might be called A March of Time. Its name is Thy Rocks and Rills. It commences in the home of John Curtis in Philadelphia in 1776, and it ends in the home of another John Curtis in San Francisco on March 9th, 1945.
It's bad luck, John. Dar bad luck.
Bad luck, Patience?
To see thy bride in her wedding dress on the wedding eve.
Patience, there's no place in my heart for old wives' tales tonight.
They do say that...
They say this and that. But the world is too full of mighty things to have room for foolish gossip. Tomorrow we'll be wed. Tonight, the streets of Philadelphia ring with the cries of excited men.
They've accepted it, John?
Aye, they've accepted it. Listen, and you'll hear them in the streets now. Tomorrow they'll sign... like a lot of excited school lads. John Adams of Massachusetts. John Hancock. A long gangling lad from Virginia they call Tom Jefferson. Good men and bad men.
Bad men?
Well, they do say Hancock's a smuggler. But that's neither here nor there. But the words are fine words. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds...
They're too important sounding words for me to understand, John. If you say they're good, then I'll believe you.
Good? They're the boldest words ever spoken by bold men. They tell powerful King George to stick to his island and leave us to plant the roots of our new nation.
And if King George heeds not the warning?
Then we fight.
And when we've planted the roots of this fine new nation?
Then we'll plant the roots of our family.
I love the fine sound of your words, but I love more to hear you tell me that you love me.
I love you exceedingly.
Is that very much?
No, you're a bold wench to ask a man to say thus and so I love thee.
But we're to wed before another sun has set.
I have serious thoughts on my mind tonight, Patience.
What can be more serious than our love?
To help plant the roots of this nation of ours. And then to plant the roots of our family tree. Look, Patience, here's the manner that it will grow. John William Curtis I am, and I am the trunk of the tree. And it will be written, wedded... the 4th day of July in the year of our Lord, 1776, to Patience, daughter of Robert and Rachel Winterspoon of the colony of Pennsylvania.
July 4th, in the year of our Lord, 1776.
And the tree will put out strong branches. We'll have 4 or 5 or 6 fine sons.
I'm to have 6 sons, my love?
Maybe more.
I'd like a woman child to be a daughter to me, too.
That may be. But it's going to be a man's world, Patience. We're going to need brawn and sinew, strong men.
To fight and be killed.
To drive the plow, to till the soil, to plant deep the roots of the Curtis family tree. And this will be their home, to go away from and always to return to.
I'd like...
Yes?
A short, small while, that we might forget matters of great import and be happy in each other.
That time will come, Patience. And you shall have a life of ease and comfort.
Raising your 6 sons. Oh, John, it's going to be a busy life. And I'll ask for little ease so long as I can serve you. But you must love me always, John.
I shall. What do you listen for, Patience?
Listen?
Well, you turned as though to listen.
I thought I heard the ringing of a bell.
You did. Throughout the day it will ring, softly and slowly, to tell the people that solemn business is afoot behind the walls of Faneuil Hall. But tomorrow...
Tomorrow?
When the last name is signed and the colonists have declared their freedom from the tyrant's rule, then the bell will ring loud and fast, and there'll be great rejoicing.
And mayhap sadness.
Sadness? That we're to be free?
Sorrow, that some must die that others may be free.
There's none of us would not die if by dying we made our children free. To live as good men, to worship God as they see fit. It's a fine new world we're looking to.
And that fine new world will be the world of our children, yours and mine. They must be strong, our children.
Strong trees grow in virgin soil.
Tell me more, John, of this Curtis family tree.
It'll put out its branches, and its seed will fall about it, and new shoots will spring from the earth.
And what of the seeds that are carried away to plant themselves in far places?
They'll always return.
I think not. In the spring of the year, the birds nest and raise their young. And when the young have wings, the parent birds thrust them from the nest, and they flutter away and never return. No, John. Each man is his own master when he has learned to fly. And then he lives his own life.
I'll not have it so. This shall be the trunk of the tree. Our young will be about it always. My threshold will be their threshold, and my roof their roof. And if vagrant winds carry them a short space of time, they'll always return and say, this is where I belong.
I pray you're right. Listen, John. The bell rings more eagerly.
I'm hearing it. It's pounding in my head and pounding in my blood, but it hasn't reached its fullness yet. Tomorrow it will ring as no bell in all the years of time has rung.
And while it's ringing, John...
While it's ringing...
My hand will be in yours, and the bells of our wedding will ring.
And as the roots of our family tree are planted, so the roots of liberty will put forth their branches.
I can hear our wedding bell now.
I can hear the bells of liberty.
Robert?
Come away from the clavichord and talk to me, Mother.
You're just as high-handed as your father was when I married him more than 30 years ago. When he said, patience, do this or do that, I simply obeyed without argument. Now, why are you so excited?
A man doesn't get married every day. I've been to the Reverend Dr. Humphrey. I warned him to make the ceremony short.
What did he say to that?
He laughed and said he had been marrying young people for 30 years. And they all wanted the ceremony short. In the end, he always did exactly as he pleased.
It's only a few minutes in a long lifetime, Robbie.
Yes, but the sooner it's over, the sooner Rebecca and I can be on our way to our new home in the wilderness of Ohio. I'm restless.
It seems to me this America of ours is restless. In the beginning, men labored and fought so they could have peace. Your father, to the day of his death, dreamed of peace. And of a home where he could raise his family.
That's what I'm going to do. Build a home where I can raise my family.
Your father hoped that this house would be the home of his children and his children's children.
Father had many old-fashioned ideas. This is 1812. We're living in a modern world where things move.
Sometimes I'm glad he didn't live to see the end of his dreams.
New dreams take the place of old dreams. I dream, Mother. Fine dreams. I'm going to plant the Curtis family tree. Out in the new world of Ohio, I'll have a tribe of children and grandchildren. Fine sons to bear the name of Curtis.
Those were almost the words your father spoke to me 35 years ago, on the eve of our wedding. He'd plant deep the roots of the tree, and it had put out fine branches.
Don't start remembering, Mother.
There were branches. Our first son, young John. You hardly remember him, Robbie.
I was pretty young when he died.
He was restless like you, eager, strong. And before this hair on his chin, he needs must be off fighting the Indians on the shores of Lake Champlain. When word came of his death, I wanted to die too.
You were too strong and brave to die.
I couldn't die, because John was only one, and I had five sons. No sooner had I found courage to live... And word came of the death of Edwin.
Edwin was born while. If he hadn't died fighting the French, he'd have died fighting somebody else.
You toss it off all so lightly, Bob. I didn't bear five sons to see them die in wars. And then Richard, to die in foreign lands. What had we Americans to do with wars in Tripoli?
I've never known it to anger you before.
I've earned the right to anger. There's much I keep locked up in me, and much I do not say. But I thought when I'd sent your father out to fight the redcoats and had him back with his arm shot off, but still a man, I did think we'd seen the last of fighting.
You've still got two of us, Mother.
Yes, two of you. Samuel off hunting to fight the British again with Mr. Jackson.
Andy Jackson's a good man.
An ungodly man, a man with a cursing tongue.
It takes strong words to command strong men.
No, it takes wisdom and knowledge of men and dignity. So Samuel fights with Mr. Jackson, and now you'll march off to the savage wilderness.
Would you rather that I'd stay behind, thread your needle for you, hold your yarn?
No, Robbie. I want you to go because you're your father's son. He'd have you go.
I'm going because I'm your son, with your blood in my veins.
And I'll stay behind and wait Sam's homecoming, and wait the day when a rider will come from the wilderness to tell me Rebecca has given you a son, and me a grandson. Then I'll be willing to die.
No, you'll not. Then you'll want to live the more to get your hands on my son.
It's so long since I've held a baby in my arms, Robbie. You were the last one.
I must have been a handsome infant.
A little red-faced, puling creature, always crying, always colicky. You were a beautiful baby, Bob.
I sound sadly terrible. What is it, Mother?
Nothing. A passing chill.
I'll fetch you a shawl.
No, it's gone. Now you've stayed long enough. Go to your bride and kiss her for me. And tell her I'm proud she's to be of our family.
A branch of the Curtis family tree.
Go now and bless you. Robert, I am cold. As though a cold hand had grasped my heart.
Mother.
It's all right.
I'll order the servants to bring hot bricks. I'll fetch warm drinks.
No, Robbie. Come back. It's not that kind of cold. It's a feeling of... I don't know. Rob, come sit by me again. Hold my hands. Your hand is strong like your father's. Now, tell me about this fine new land you're going to.
They say the ground is black and rich, and all good things will grow in it. There are fine forests and rivers. The land of the Ohio stretches mile on mile, and there's no end to it.
Rocks and rills, calling to the adventurous. What'll you do for clothing, Bob, and for comfort?
What did Grandfather Curtis do? We'll do as they did. Have what we had and do what without what we haven't. It made strong men of them. It'll not harm us.
And when you've turned the wild land into a homeland, then you'll be restless again.
No. I'll stay there always. It'll be the place to plant the roots of my family tree. Mother, what is it?
I heard the clatter of hooves on the cobbled street.
There are always riders that pass our door.
But this one stopped before the door.
Then it's a messenger come to wish well to Rebecca and me, or the bootmaker with my wedding boots.
Robert, see. See what it is, son.
Mother, you're full of alarms as a mother hen. Well, then I'll see. And you're to sit here at your clavichord and not move until I return.
Robert.
It was a messenger, Mother. A messenger has come.
Samuel.
It, the message.
Yes, my son.
Mother, you must prepare yourself for sad tidings.
Sad tidings have come ere this. I need no preparing. Samuel is dead.
Yes.
Read me the message, Robert.
It is a message from New Orleans.
Read me the message.
Regret to inform you, your son, in brave discharge of his duties, died honorably and in the cause of the United States of America. It is signed Andrew Jackson. Mother.
I'm all right, Robert.
I must go to Rebecca. I must tell her our wedding must be postponed, that now we cannot go to Ohio.
Not go to Ohio?
Now I'm the only one left. My place is here, by you.
Robert, tomorrow you shall wed Rebecca Adams, and you will go to Ohio to turn your rich wild land into a homeland. You will plant the roots of your family tree, as your father would wish.
But
I wish to be alone now, Robert. Go to Rebecca.
What's the date, John?
Hmm?
John Curtis, pay attention. What's the date?
March 9th, 1945. Why?
I've got to send a check to the Forum.
Yes, and I've got to pay my income tax.
Oh, and don't forget the Red Cross.
I've attended to it.
John, I'm sure the bank made a mistake in my balance this month.
Oh, sure. They do that all the time. Make a practice of it.
Don't be sarcastic, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh,
and don't go to sleep when I'm talking to you.
The fire makes me dopey.
That's very nice. I'm so glad we found an apartment with an open fireplace.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, we're lucky to have an apartment at all these days. I don't know what they expect people to raise families when there are no homes for them. I've never seen San Francisco so crowded. Oh, John, you're not paying any attention to me. Please put down that newspaper.
I wasn't reading it. Nothing in it anyway.
War, war, war.
Good old-fashioned murder would make interesting reading.
Don't talk that way. I do wish the war would get over. I'm so restless.
Shall I turn on the radio?
Well, there's nothing but dance music at this time of night. John, will you please put down that newspaper and pay some attention to me?
Well, now, out with it. What do you want to ask me?
Nothing at all. I just want you to pay some attention. Johnny getting married tomorrow, and here we sit, staring into the fire.
What do you want to do? Have a serious talk with him? On what a prospective husband living on the salary of a second lieutenant should know?
Oh.
I assure you, he knows much more than we knew when we got married. Probably more than we do right now.
Well, it wouldn't hurt him to spend an hour with his grandparents on the eve of his wedding.
Well, he probably figures his wedding is his business.
Oh, it's very important to us, too. We may be great-grandparents in another year.
Well, not with the kids these days. Not when there's a war on.
Our grandparents had children when there were wars. Of course, she seems to be a nice child.
Who?
Now, haven't I been talking about Johnny and Betty Ann?
Oh, you sort of changed your ideas about her, haven't you, Mother?
John, she's going to be Johnny's wife.
Sure, sure.
Of course, for a child of no background, she has plenty of poise.
Well, most kids have today.
Although goodness knows where she gets it. Of course, she sticks to her silly expressions. And the latest is repulsive.
Hmm.
Everything's repulsive. War's repulsive. Nightclubs are repulsive. Chocolate milkshakes are repulsive. The 12 o'clock curfew is repulsive. Absurd expression.
Well, we had a few in our day, too. 23 skidoo.
I never said that in my life. John.
Yes, dear.
Do you think they can be happy?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. There's no security in anything today.
Was there ever?
Well, Johnny's never had a proper home.
Well, I think we've given him a pretty good home.
Oh, I know, but it's not the same. A boy whose parents are divorced, and neither of them very much concerned about him. Oh, dear, those things didn't happen when we were young.
Mm. Didn't they?
Divorce? In the Curtis family? Oh. Your grandfather would turn in his grave if he knew. Family meant everything to him. What are you doing?
Getting this. I haven't looked at this for a dozen years.
Oh, the Curtis family tree.
We'll have to do some more writing in it.
Hmm. John William Curtis, son of Calverton and Ruth Curtis, and Betty Ann. Elizabeth Ann Smith, married March 10, 1945. Smith, a distinguished name.
Well, there have been some very nice Smiths in history.
Oh, I know. Captain John Smith.
And the cough drops.
I'm not narrow, John. I don't object to the name, but just who are the Smiths? I mean, Betty Ann's parents. Well, I'll wager they don't even remember the name of their maternal grandmother.
Oh, I guess those things don't matter very much anymore.
Nothing matters anymore.
You're very bitter tonight, Mother.
Yes, I'm bitter. Let me see the book.
Here you are.
John Curtis and Patience. Wed 1776, July 4, 1776, the day the Declaration was signed.
Mm-hmm.
Then the five sons of John and Patience, John, Edward, Richard, Samuel, all died in the wars. Robert married 1812 to Rebecca. Then Robert and Rebecca's son. He was the one who came west in the 50s to California, and his wife died on the plains of Colorado, leaving one son.
Mm-hmm.
Your father. 1872, and he married Susan Calverton. Every generation had sons.
Of course.
To carry on the family name. We had a son, and he had Johnny. And now we'll write John Calverton Curtis and Elizabeth Ann Smith, wed 1945. And if they don't have a son, the Curtis name will die out.
Well, does it matter?
Does it matter?
We're living in a realistic age. No time for sentimental fancies.
Sentimental fancies. They're dreams, John, of strong men. I can picture your great-grandfather planning his family, building the place that was to be the family home for generations. And what have we left?
Well, a comfortable apartment with central heat and a fireplace, tiled bathrooms, Venetian blinds. Johnny'll have his apartment, including the very important electric refrigerator. There's no time for dreams in this mad world.
As Betty Ann would say, it's repulsive.
Sometimes life is repulsive.
Dismally. Pass me the chocolates. All the great strength that went into the building of this land of ours. And what's the ultimate goal?
I don't know.
I'm rather glad we haven't an awfully long time to live. I don't want to see where the next generation is going.
Well, I do. And I want this talk stopped. You're morbid.
Well, what is there to look forward to, John?
I don't know.
Life isn't worth living when there are no dreams.
Well, Sally, we've still got each other. As long as we live, we've still got each other. That's something.
Yes, darling. I ought to be spanked.
We can still sit in front of the fire and hold hands like two old fools. And if we can't live in the dreams of tomorrow, we can live in the memories of yesterday.
Mm.
And that's one thing the kids haven't got. By the way, where is Johnny?
Now, just where do you think he is? With Betty Ann, of course. Do you think the fact that they're going to be married tomorrow is going to keep them apart tonight?
Hmm.
Traditions don't mean anything. They're probably parked up on Twin Peaks in his coop.
Yes, I suppose so. No, no. Don't pull away, Mother.
Oh. And undoubtedly, Betty Ann is telling him how repulsive life is.
Hello, Repulsive.
Oh, Toad.
I love you.
Well, I love you.
Donnie, isn't the world gorgeous?
Terrific.
Keep still, I see a shooting star.
Wish.
I did.
What?
I won't tell you.
Well, anyway, we're going to name the first one John.
Oh, be quiet. See, you're handsome in your uniform, Johnny.
That's what all the girls tell me.
Heel.
But I love you exceedingly.
Is that good?
It's terrific.
I hate you. Johnny.
Yes, honey?
Come here. Put your arms around me. Oh, gee. No. Tell me you love me.
I worship you.
That's perfect. It's a beautiful world, Johnny.
Is it?
Oh, it is. It's a beautiful country, an exciting country. Johnny, what are rills?
Rills?
Rills.
Some kind of a machine tool?
Isn't it funny the way we learn things in schools? Words, and they don't tell us what they mean. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and temple hills.
You know, that's funny. I never thought of that. Sure, a rill is a little stream.
One of the little streams that flows into the great rivers. Oh, it's exciting. Johnny.
Yes, darling?
Look down there. The lights of the city. A million homes with a million people. Do you think any of them are as happy as we are?
Well, I imagine so. They've all got dreams. Everybody has dreams. When you've got dreams, well, then life's good.
Tell me your dreams, Johnny. I mean, for us.
Well, first I have a chance to make use of this uniform I'm wearing and help get the war over quickly and finally.
I know, but us, Johnny, us.
We'll be married tomorrow. Nice, short, crisp ceremony. Not a lot of talk, you know. Then we'll be on our own. We'll make our home. We'll have kids, a big family.
Two.
Oh, maybe three. And then we'll start making good Americans out of them.
Go ahead.
That's all.
No, tell me more. The things that are way down deep inside you. I want to hear them tonight.
Way down deep inside me? Hold my hand, darling.
Here.
We'll have our family. American kids. We'll see them grow, little by little, till they're men and women, and have youngsters of their own. And our home will be their home. And when they have grandchildren, the home we build will still be their home, till our tribe gathers around us, like the prophets in the Old Testament. I think if God looks down on what we're doing, he'll be pleased. He'll look down at the Curtis family tree we've planted, and he'll say, that's a job well done. Well?
I love you.
You have just heard the radio drama, Thy Rocks and Rills, written and directed by Samuel Dixon, in the KPO drama repertoire tonight at 9:30. The cast included Ethel Sterling as Patience, Ray Lewis as her husband, Kenneth Clark as Robert, Everett Glass as the contemporary John Curtis, Mary Barnett as his wife Sarah, Phyllis Newman as Betty, and Ray Lewis as Johnny. Be listening next Friday night at 9:30 for another in the series of radio dramas, Tonight at 9:30, coming to you from San Francisco's Radio City.